And if you thought the recent court ruling on Obamacare meant the end of the health care program, short of another save by the U.S. Supreme Court, not so fast. The individual mandate is alive and well here in New Jersey, where a state version of Obamacare is about to be made part of the state law landscape. Or is it? See, if the ruling by a Texas judge survives a Supreme Court challenge, will that force an erasing of New Jersey's version of Obamacare? Our first guest today is here to explain all of this, along with being an emeritus professor at Washington and Lee University School of Law. He's also the co-author of the casebook Health Law, which is widely used in teaching health law. Professor Timothy Jost, how are you today, Professor?
I am fine, thank you.
And website to learn more about Washington Lee University is wlu.edu. So just as a foundation for the listener, give us some background on the decision down by the Texas judge and what Judge O'Connor based his ruling on.
It's a lawsuit that was filed by the Attorney General from Texas and Attorney Generals or Governors from 19 other Republican states. And the allegation is that in 2012, the Supreme Court held that Congress did not have the ability under the commerce power to require people to buy health insurance. On the other hand, it upheld the individual mandate or individual responsibility section of the Affordable Care Act as a proper exercise of Congress's ability to tax. It effectively said you either get health insurance unless you fit with none of the many exceptions or you pay a tax. And what O'Connor held was that since the tax was zeroed out, reduced to zero in 2017, the mandate no longer is a tax. It's invalid as a requirement, a legal command, and therefore it's completely unconstitutional. And then he took a huge leap and said, and therefore the entire 900 pages and several hundred sections of the Affordable Care Act, most of which have nothing to do with the individual mandate, are invalid as well. So that's where things now stand. Where things now stand is that there were 17 Democratic states led by California that intervened to defend the Affordable Care Act. The United States, in its response to the motion from Texas, said that they had agreed that the mandate was unconstitutional, but that should only take out three or four provisions having to do with pre-existing conditions rather than the whole statute. So California has asked the judge to clarify that his ruling is not effective until it has been finally reviewed by appellate courts and asked him to stay the effect of his judgment today, and they did that a couple of days ago. Today we're supposed to receive briefs from the United States Department of Justice, if they're still at work by the end of the day, and from the Republican states as to where they stand on the issue of a stay, and then the judge will probably rule next week. In any effect, nothing happens until the end of the year because the tax still is in effect. So that's a probably somewhat confusing but very brief summary of where things stand right now.
Well, is the confusion, or has the confusion been caused by maybe the lack of detail of the crafting of the individual mandate? Because even when it first went before the Supreme Court, it seemed to be that even the Obama administration lawyers were trying to make it appear to be both the tax and the fee at the same time until the might have been Chief Justice Roberts who said, look, you have to choose one so we can make our decision.
Yeah, I mean, it is both. As originally written, it was both an exercise of the commerce power and of the taxing power. What Chief Justice Roberts held was it's not legitimate as a command. It is legitimate as a tax. And frankly, I mean, it still is a tax. It's just one of the many taxes which nobody has to pay right now. There's lots of taxes like that on the book. So I think Judge O'Connor's judgment is clearly wrong, but it might take a little while to get that sorted out. The next step would be to appeal to the Fifth Circuit, and I would expect that they will reverse him, but if they don't, then it might end up in the Supreme Court in a year or two.
Now, you're among those who say that this is a position for Congress to address, not a judge. But to turn that around, is it right for a judge to make a ruling on a law which has been altered due to actions by Congress? In other words, finishing the legal work that they failed to do.
Well, I think, the way our constitutional system works is we elect people to Congress to make the law, and the judge's job is to interpret what Congress does. And in this case, the judge actually pretty much completely ignored what Congress did. In 2017, congressmen said repeatedly, and indeed also have said since then, we did not intend to do anything to the rest of the law. All we intended to do was to reduce the tax to zero. And so he is decided to make himself a super legislator and to overrule what Congress thought it was doing.
So Professor Timothy Jost, who is the Emeritus Professor of Washington and Lee University, is also co-author of the casebook Health Law. Learn more about Washington and Lee University at WLU.edu, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. The unanimous belief is that without the mandate, the tax, whatever you want to call it, the structure of Obamacare would collapse. Isn't that also why Medicaid was expanded to lessen that load?
Well, I mean, I don't think there is any view at this point of many people other than O'Connor that without the mandate, Obamacare would collapse. The mandate is gone, and we saw yesterday that 8.4 million people enrolled in the in individual coverage. I think it's also really important to realize that the statute that the Affordable Care Act is affects Medicare, it affects employer-related insurance, it affects Medicaid, it affects the Indian Health Service. I mean, he would get rid of the Medicaid expansions and throw 15, 20 million people off of Medicaid. This decision really affects every American virtually and will limit their rights for health care. It just has to get reversed. It's just an absurd decision.
Well, looking ahead, too, as I mentioned in the introduction, New Jersey is about to launch its version of the Affordable Care Act. If the Supreme Court this time gave an agreement to Judge O'Connor's ruling, would that automatically negate New Jersey or any other state trying to do their version of the previous Obamacare edition, or would that have to be a whole nother lap around the courts?
Well, states have the authority to regulate insurance, and they all do. And states have the authority to spend their own money for health care programs, and many of them do. The problem is that if the federal Affordable Care Act is made invalid, for example, states have no authority over Medicare. So I'm on Medicare. I would lose my right to preventive services. I may face much bigger costs for prescription drugs because it might get rid of the donut hole closure. It would sharply reduce funding for the Medicare program because his decision would outlaw some of the Medicare taxes, which would make it much more unstable. Also, states can't regulate most employer benefit plans, and so rights that employees now have to preventive services, to no lifetime or annual limits on coverage, to maximums on how much they can be charged for deductibles and copays, all of that goes away, and some protection from pre-existing condition exclusions as well. So those are issues states can't address. New Jersey is trying to deal with some of the problems the Trump administration has created for the Affordable Care Act, but it assumes that that legislation assumes the Affordable Care Act is still generally valid. So, I mean, the Affordable Care Act was passed because states had a century to try to deal with the problem of health care costs and access and were unable to do so. So I don't think it's going to work to just throw it back to the states again.
Just for some points of reference for New Jersey, the fiscal year 2019, enrollment rate for Obamacare was down about 15% behind the same time last year, around 118,000. There's 707,000 New Jersey residents have received coverage through the health law's two major provisions, expansion of Medicaid, that includes childless adults and subsidized purchases of health policies. Medicaid covered 555,000 people in New Jersey, another 152,000 purchased health plans through healthcare.gov. So you add it all up, that's a lot of people are going to be curious, maybe even concerned about what is going to be left once the smoke clears, or if it will be status quo. Can they afford what they are still be able to afford, what they are going to be in need of? So as they say, to be determined. Learn more about the Professor Jost's Washington Lee University School of Law, where he is an emeritus professor at WLU.edu. We'll also look him up on Amazon because he has written a succession of informative books on this and other related topics. Professor Timothy Jost, thanks so much for your educational insight today on all this. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. Have a good day.